All of us in various ways from time to time will be confronted with the temptation to tell something other than the absolute truth. This evening I'd like to challenge our thoughts with some discussion, and particularly three questions that I think will cause us to think seriously about the necessity of always telling the truth, no matter what. You might be able to sympathize with the fellow who received a phone call from his wife who had been in Europe for 3 weeks, and she was just about to board a plane to begin the flight home, and she asked him, "Honey, how's my cat?" "He's dead." "Oh, honey, don't be so blunt and honest. Why didn't you break the news to me slowly? You've ruined my trip." Well, his feelings were a little bit hurt, and he said, "Well, dear, what exactly do you mean?" She said, "Well, when I first called, you could have told me he was up on the roof. And then when I called you from Paris, when we land there later on this evening, you could have told me that he was acting sluggish. And then when I called you from London, you could have said that he was sick. And then when I called you from New York, when we got there, you could have told me he was at the vet. And then when I got home, you could have told me that he was dead." Well, this old fellow had never really been exposed to such protocol, but he was willing to learn. And so he said, "Okay, honey, I promise I'll do better next time." "Well, dear, that's okay," she said. "By the way, how's Mom doing?" There was a long silence, and he said, "Well, she's up on the roof." We've all had times when we were faced with the choice of being, well, honest or dishonest. Sometimes we may have found ourselves in the situation where we were able to convince ourselves that it would be entirely appropriate for some reason or another to tell a lie, particularly if the stakes were high enough. And because we're living in a culture today where more and more people have a lower and lower regard for telling the truth, it seems to have almost gotten to the point where it feels like you can't trust anybody to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And actually, it's no wonder that we no longer expect to be told the truth. We seem to be exposed in our culture today in just daily life with a constant flow of lies and misrepresentations on every hand. Our political leaders seem to be especially good at crafting their words so that they can't be pinned down to anything specific. The advertising industry is famous for putting all of those exceptions and exclusions in the fine print right at the very bottom where you can't hardly read it. And we've all got Snopes.com in our favorites on our browser because most of what you get on email is probably not true, and we find ourselves constantly having to check and see, is this really? In fact, I suppose the one thing that may have lowered our expectation of truthfulness out of people in general may be the communication that comes through the internet, because as you well know, you can put anything on the internet. There is no requirement for truth. And some people seem to thrive on the practice of spinning wild tales and sending them out in mass emails, claiming them to be the absolute truth. And so it's no wonder that many people today seem to have lost their appreciation for truth-telling. And so let's dig a little deeper into this subject, and I'd like for us to begin with a very bold question. Is there ever a time when it is acceptable to tell anything other than the truth? I feel certain that many who we might otherwise regard as strong, faithful, honorable Christian people would probably say, well, that depends. That depends. Remember what we talked about this morning? Truth, according to some people, depends upon the circumstances. And there is a frightening number of people, and the number seems to be getting bigger and bigger all of the time, who would not hesitate to tell something that were less than the truth or something that's not exactly in harmony with the truth, especially if the circumstances were right. And so is there ever a time for you and me as Christians that it would be acceptable for us to tell anything other than the truth? To find the answer to that question, I think we have no choice but to go to the standard for truth. As we talked about this morning, that of course is the Word of God. We need to recognize, first of all, the fact that Jesus never lied. We're not talking about George Washington and the cherry tree. We're not talking about someone of minor importance. We're talking about the one in whose steps we are to follow in everything before us. Jesus never lied. In Isaiah 53, verse 9, the Bible says, in prophecy concerning Jesus, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. That means he never told anything that wasn't true. There was no deceit. There never had been, there never would be any deceit in the mouth of Jesus. In fact, if you were to look through the New Testament very carefully, you would find at least 75 occasions when Jesus spoke the words, "I tell you the truth," before he said something to his disciples. Honesty was something that our Lord placed a great deal of emphasis on. His every word was accurate. His every sentence was true. He didn't cheat on any tests. He didn't stretch the truth or shade the truth to avoid it. He simply told the truth. As the prophet said, no deceit was ever in his mouth. If we continue to look in God's Word, we will find that God also is very blunt on the subject of honesty. In Psalm 101, verse 7, the Lord says, "He who practices deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me." From the very first page of his book to the very last, from Genesis to Revelation, the theme is the same. God loves the truth. God hates deceit. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, the wise man puts down that list of things which the Lord hates. Six of them, yea, seven, are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I would call your attention to the fact that out of that short list, two of those things are specifically connected to telling that which is not true. In Psalm 5, verse 6, the psalmist says, "Thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit." Our next question that we ought to deal with, I guess, is why does God take such a tough stance on this issue of truth and truthfulness? Consider the fact that dishonesty is absolutely contrary to the character of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, the Hebrew writer says, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." It's not that God has just chosen not to lie. God cannot lie. It's not his nature. It's something that he cannot do. For God to lie would be like a dog flying or a bird barking. It's just something that isn't going to happen. Truth is his nature. On the other hand, Satan finds it impossible to tell the truth. The passage that we read this morning, John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus speaking to a group of people there who were known for their less than appreciation for the truth, he said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and your will it is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him." When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And it doesn't take much effort at all to find that Scripture bears this out even further. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus encountered Satan in that period during which he was tempted by Satan to sin. The devil lied. He stretched the truth. He misinterpreted Scripture. He mischaracterized God's will, all trying to get Jesus to sin. You remember, he was unsuccessful. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman," did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" I've heard it said that Satan made an effort there to discourage Eve. I've heard it said that he made an effort there to seduce Eve, to persuade her to do that which was wrong. I've heard it said that he was trying to deceive her mind. The fact is, plain and simple, he lied to her. He said, "You will not die." Third question: why do we lie? Why do we lie? Maybe you're thinking, "Preacher, you've got it all wrong. I don't lie." I hope that's the case. But I also know the reality is that every one of us at times struggles with the matter of making sure that we tell the truth. The fact is, some folks have given in to that struggle. Some folks have found it much easier to go ahead and tell something that isn't exactly true. I probably should go ahead and admit that I don't believe I'm standing here before a group of pathological liars who on every turn try to cook up some wild tale to tell folks and try to make them believe that it's the truth. I don't think that's our problem. But I do believe the reality is we all struggle. Sometimes are more difficult than others. Some situations are more trying than others. But I don't believe that there will come a time, as long as we live here on this earth, when we will never be tempted to tell something other than the absolute truth. As long as we are here on this earth, there will always be the temptation. You may be dealing with it well. You may have perfected the business of putting the devil in his place and never giving in to the temptation to tell something other than the truth. But I believe we're all tempted. Why do people lie? I think there are some answers to this that would be pretty obvious. One of the answers that's pretty obvious is that the devil lies to us. And therefore, it's very tempting to follow in his steps. It's very tempting to follow his example. After all, we have developed the ability sometimes to justify the things that we do because, after all, he did it. Or she did it. Doesn't lessen the fact that we did it too, but in some warped way of thinking, we're convinced that that somehow takes away a part of the guilt and the responsibility that we had simply because somebody else is guilty too. Not quite sure how we get to that conclusion, but the fact is that is one of the common ways of reasoning. The devil lies. And people all around us tell lies. And so sometimes we fall in step. We need to be careful that we follow the right example, that we follow in the steps of the one who had no deceit in his mouth, that we set the standard, that we be known as those who don't need contracts and signed agreements, those kind of folks who would never, ever misrepresent or tell something wrong. That's the reputation that we need. Sometimes we lie because sin entraps us. One of the most common responses to getting in a tight spot is to try to lie your way out of it. Now that sounds kind of harsh and low class. But the fact is, I don't know of anything that's any more strong in its temptation than to suddenly find ourselves in a situation that we really don't need to be in. And we somehow think we could lessen the gravity of the situation by trying to bend the truth a little bit. It never works, does it? It never makes anything better. And in fact, it just makes you feel worse. Until you've gotten to the point at which you've lost the ability to feel, then things are really bad. But typically when one lie depends upon another lie, and that second one depends upon a third one and a fourth one, and we're lying to cover up lies, it doesn't take long to get into a real mess. And that's part of this third reason that we sometimes lie. Sometimes it seems a little bit more beneficial to our self-interest to just tell a lie instead of telling the truth, or to tell a little bit less than the truth. There are no benefits in lying. All of the benefit is in the truth. Sometimes we may find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation, and telling the truth may seem to be the most uncomfortable thing to do, but I assure you that after everything is said and done, looking back upon it, we'll always be glad we told the truth. And then there are some answers to that question that may not be quite so obvious. Sometimes we may lie because we don't like the truth. Adam and Eve hid from God in the garden because they knew the truth. Even though they had believed a lie, they believed the lie of the devil, they had been deceived. When God came looking for them in the garden, they knew the truth. They didn't like the truth. In fact, they were afraid of the truth. It's like the old fellow said one time, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you squirm." It has a way of doing that to us, especially when our relationship with the truth isn't what it should have been. Sometimes we don't like the truth. Sometimes the truth puts us to the test, and so it's easier to lie. Sometimes we lie because we just simply don't trust the truth. Our culture tells us that telling the truth is no fun. Telling the truth is associated with strict control. No fun, no benefit. If you tell the truth, culture says, you won't get what you want. Truth is inadequate for what you want and what you really need. And so tell something else. Don't tell the truth. Don't trust the truth. If we've fallen in lockstep with that crowd, we need to cut those ties as quickly as possible. But we want people to like us, and so we flatter them. We may call it buttering them up. God calls it lying. We want people to admire us, and so sometimes we may exaggerate. We might call it stretching the story a little bit. God calls it lying. We want people to respect us. And so we tend sometimes to try to live in houses that we can't afford and charge bills that we can't pay. We may call it keeping up with the Joneses, but I think God would call it living a lie. In fact, the economists now are telling us that that's probably one of the biggest things that's gotten our nation into the mess that we're in, with the overinflated house values, the glut of debt that can't be paid, living a lie. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." And then perhaps we should end with this final point. No matter why we may find ourselves lying, We cannot escape the consequences of deceit. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." The truth. To tell the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. That's not just a phrase from the courtroom. That's a phrase from every minute of every day of our lives. To tell the truth. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.